Father. Let's lift our hands to the Most High God and just begin to bless His holy name. Let's give Him glory, let's give Him honor, let's give Him adoration. Bless His holy name for yet another month. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. It's worthy to be praised, worthy to be adored. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Oh yes, Father, we just want to bless Your holy name. Glorify Your holy name again and again as we've always done. We bless Your name. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. You're worthy to be adored. You're worthy to be magnified. Thank You, Jesus. We bless Your holy name. We bless Your holy name. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Almighty God. Blessed, blessed, blessed be Your holy name. Thank You, Daddy. You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. Glory be to Your holy name. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. Lift your voice to Him loud and clear and say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, let this month be a month of surprises for me. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Pleasant surprises, O Lord, on a very daily basis. Let this month of February be a month of pleasant surprises for me on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Pleasant surprises, O Lord. Thank You, Father. On a daily basis, Lord, give me pleasant surprises throughout this month. Pleasant surprises. Beautiful surprises. Glorious surprises. Marvelous surprises. Divine surprises. Father, this month on a daily basis, give me pleasant surprises. Mighty surprises, Lord. The kind that only You can give. Let this month be a month of very, very pleasant surprises for me. Thank You, my Father. Glory be to Your holy name, Lord. Give me pleasant surprises. Mighty pleasant surprises. So that Your name alone, might be glorified. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Well, join hands with your neighbor and let's apply the law of harvest. What you sow is what you reap. So pray for your neighbor now and say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, please give my neighbor pleasant surprises. Go ahead, pray for your neighbor. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, give all my neighbors pleasant surprises. Pleasant surprises, O Lord. from you, Daddy, directly to all my neighbors. Give them pleasant surprises to the glory of your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Our Father who art in heaven, amen. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, amen. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, amen. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father and our God, the King that is greater than all kings, the Lord that is greater than all lords, the one who is greater than the greatest, better than the best, older than the oldest, wiser than the wisest, stronger than the strongest, richer than the richest. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for yet another month. Thank you that we survived January. Thank you because we will survive February. Thank you because we will survive this year. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. In the lives of every one of your children, those who are here, those who are watching at the various viewing centers all over the world, let this month be a month of pleasant surprises. On a daily basis, Father, surprise us with miracles, with signs, with wonders, with breakthroughs. Surprise us. And tonight, in a very, very special way, my Father and my God, let the surprises begin. At the end of it all, take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three people and tell them, God will surprise you tonight. And then you may please be seated. Except those who are born in the month of February. If you are born in the month of February, shout hallelujah. My Father, my God, I want to commit into your care all your children born in the month of February. I thank you on their behalf. And now I'm saying, Father, because February is the second month of the year, in every area of their lives, Father, double their blessings. Double their promotion. Double their testimonies. Give them a brand new beginning. A new beginning of double joy. Of double success. Of double anointing. And of a closer walk with you. In all areas of their life, let it be well with them. And let them serve you to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let the February children shout another hallelujah. I'm sure many of you know the history of the Holy Ghost service. That I was in the United Kingdom in London preparing a Sunday school pamphlet when I heard God speak. And he said to me, son, what do you want for your birthday? At that time, my birthday was drawing near. And I wasn't sure I heard correctly. And so I said, Lord, if it's that's you, please repeat the question. And he repeated the question. And then I said, Father, all I want is that every member of my congregation will get a miracle. And he said, is that all you want? I said, yes. He said, okay, when you get home, gather them together and I will grant your request. And so I came home, gathered the people together at a Butemeta. And we had a week long of services. And because of the way God moved, by the third day, people were in the church by 7 a.m. for the service that was going to start at 7 p.m. because they wanted to find a room in the little church we had there. That was 1986. Next month will be the anniversary . That's why we call the March Holy Ghost Service Special Holy Ghost Service. And this year the theme is Come and Drink. It will run from March the 2nd to March the 4th. It will be absolutely glorious. Take my word for it. Now, for those of you who are close to the camp, on February 16, 17, and 18, February 16, 17, and 18, in the old arena, there will be special divine encounter services. February 16, 17, and 18. Just 1 hour, 6 to 7, at the old arena. It will be recorded by Dove, it will be transmitted by Dove, so those of you who are far away can watch. But it will be retransmitted on February 26, 27, and 28 to round off our fast. So those of you who live near the camp, Sagamu Ogere Jaburema Abekuta, even Ibadan. Kenya and so on. Those of you who are near, you can come just those 3 days, and by the grace of God, I'll be talking to you on special divine encounter. Just something additional to the blessings that will come during the special Holy Ghost service. Now, before we continue today, by the way, how many of you were blessed by the first talk? If you are blessed, let me hear you shout a big hallelujah. In America, when they are thoroughly blessed by a preaching, they have a way of saying it. They say, "What a word." And that's a special word directly from heaven. I give God the glory for that first talk. Glory be to God. Now, as usual, our discussion tonight will be in two sections. Section A, we want to talk to those who are yet to give their life to Jesus, so they can do so, so that they can partake of the blessings in section B. In John chapter 8, verse 35, John 8, verse 35, Jesus Christ said something about servants and sons. He said, servants don't abide in the house forever. Only sons abide in the house forever. And I'm sure you know that is true. Now, how come the servants don't abide in the house forever? Many a times it's not even the fault of the master at all. No matter how good the master may be, no matter how loving, how caring, they see something in the heart of the servant that says, I do not really belong here. The servant still wants to go back to his own house. He wants to go back to his own home. The master's house may be a palace. The servant's birthplace might be a hut. There is something inside the servant that says, this is not your place. You must go back. But the son abides forever. Now, because the son abides forever, if we move that to the level of sons of God, dramatic implications are there. For example, Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you are a son of God and you are one of those abiding forever, you will be under the shadow of the Almighty. Meaning what? Meaning that you get divine coverage. Wherever you go, God will be there watching over you, covering you. Psalm 91, verse 4. Psalm 91, verse 4 says that the Almighty God will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you can trust. Now, those of you who are not from villages, you may not fully understand that. In the village, when a mother hen has some little chicks and they are feeding, the chicks are young. They don't even know what is called danger. They only see food and they are going about eating. But the mother hen, looking down, we suddenly see a shadow. The shadow of an eagle flying overhead. And immediately, the mother hen will make a sound to the little chicks. Come, 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 come. And they will run to the mother hen. And he will spread her wings and cover the chicks. The eagle that is flying overhead is looking for a chicken to eat. But when he looks down, he sees one big hen, too big to carry. And so he flies away to go and look for prey elsewhere. And then the little chicks can come out and continue to enjoy. When you are a child of the Almighty God, long before trouble comes to you, he sees the trouble. He spreads his wings. He asks you to come and let me cover you with my feathers. That's why I can assure you, it doesn't matter how many storms may be coming this year. It doesn't matter how many troubles may be coming this year. If you are a child of God, you are covered. If you go to Psalm 91, verse 7 to 9, Psalm 91, verse 7 to 9, the Bible says, if you are a child of God, you will only be observing what is happening to others. 1,000 may fall at your left, 10,000 may fall at your right hand. They won't come near you at all. You will just be observing them with your eyes. This is what I call divine insurance policy. When you are a child of God, yes, trouble may happen to others, but you'll be spared. The Bible says in Psalm 27 verse 5, Psalm 27 verse 5, he said, in the time of trouble, he will hide me. In other words, trouble will come. But when trouble comes, God will hide me in his pavilion. I remember a time when I was living in Mushi, and a lot of terrible things were happening in Mushi in those days. I believe Mushi has changed now. But in those days, in the early 80s, Mushi could be pretty rough. And so we decided, those of us in the place, in the street, the compound, decided to set up a group called Vigilante. Do you know nobody put one of his children among the vigilante? All the vigilantes were servants. The children were lying safe and secure in their father's bedroom. God keeps his own in his pavilion. Trouble may be happening outside, but it won't come near the children. Some people have said, well, what about the evil that came to Job? I said, read the book of Job very well. In Job chapter 1, verse 8 to 12, Job 1, verse 8 to 12, God said to Satan, have you observed my servant Job? My what? Servant, Job. You can perform experiments with a servant. You won't perform experiments with your son. The only thing permitted to come near your sons are goodness and mercy. Satan said, let us test him. God said, no problem, he's a servant. You can test him. I know he will pass. But God will never say to Satan, go and inflict my son. Sons are never used for experiments. But just one more thing before I give those of you who are yet to become sons an opportunity to become one. Do you know everyone in this world is looking forward to something? At the end of our race here on earth, sons are looking forward to rewards. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Paul said, I have finished my race. I've finished everything I need to do. From now on, I am looking forward to my coronation. I'm looking forward to the reward that the Almighty God has for me. And not for me alone, but for all other children of God. But for those who are not children of God, they are looking forward to judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, Hebrews 9 27, he said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes judgment. So if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, if you are not yet one of the sons of God, when you leave this world, you are looking forward to judgment. If you're a child of God, when you leave this world, you are looking forward to reward. Now, which of the two do you prefer? Reward or judgment? And the choice is yours. So if you are here and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, we are going to break briefly for 3 or 4 minutes to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, so that the issue of your salvation will be settled, so that you too can become a child of God. So that if, as we go along, God decides to say there is someone here, you'll be qualified to receive it from the Almighty God. But if you are not a child of God, you can hear all the prophecies. The only prophecy for someone who is not a child of God is judgment is coming. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 10 very quickly. Come, surrender your life to Jesus, and I'll pray for your salvation. And as you are coming here, in all other viewing centers, in the old arena, and in all the other view centers all over the world, you too can move forward, surrender your life to Jesus, and the prayer we pray here will cover you all. Now I'm counting. One. Now those of you already in front, and those of you on the way, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, I want to become one of your children, O Lord. Save my soul. Let your blood wash away my sin. I will serve you from now on. Please save my soul. Write my names in the book of life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And I will serve you with all my heart for the rest of my life. And the rest of us, let's please stretch our hands towards our new brothers and sisters and intercede for them, that the one who saved our own souls will save their souls also. Let's pray for them. And those of you who are on the way, you have to hurry up now, because I will soon be praying for salvation. Let's intercede for them for a minute or so, that the Almighty God will wipe away all their sins with his powerful blood, that he will write their names in the book of life, that they will also become members of the family of God from today onward. Please pray for them. Thank you, Father. And those of you on the way, just make sure you get there before I finish praying, and it will be okay. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I just want to say thank you for your word. I want to thank you for these, your children, who have come forward to surrender their life to you. Father, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will know what's cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Save their souls, Lord. Let your blood wash away their sins. And please write their names in the book of life. And And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that from now on they will serve you till the end. And Lord God Almighty, don't let them go back into sin. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you in front, I want to rejoice with you. And I want to tell you that by the grace of God, from now on, I'll be praying for you. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request. So the counselors will give you a card, which you should fill very quickly, and then return to the counselors. And I promise you, from now on, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. Let's do that within 2 or 3 minutes. We'll wait for you till you finish. God bless you. We can have some music while they are busy doing that. Thank you. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. We will read from verse 14 to 15. Romans 8, 14 to 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're discussing Abba, Father, part two. You see, there are categories of sons. While everybody may want to call God Daddy, not all are allowed to enjoy the privilege of such intimacy. Not even everyone who says, God is my father, is regarded by God as his child. There's a proverb where I come from. They said that every Jesha is the son of Owa. But when the sun sets, Owa knows how many children come to his house to sleep. Everybody will want to call God Father. Some of us may even want to go ahead and call him Daddy. But it's not everyone that God looks down and says, yeah, that's my son. Yes, that's my girl. See, Jesus told a story, Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31. Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31. He said, a father has two sons. He came to the first one and said, son, I want you to go to my farm and work. That boy said, no, I'm not going. So he went to the second one and said, son, I want you to go to my farm and work. He said, yes, daddy, I will go. After some time, the first son repented and went to the farm to work. The second son, who said, I will go, didn't go. Two sons. The first one repentant. The second one deceptive. But even the first one caused his father some anguish. The father said, go to my farm and work. He said, I'm not going. At the very least, we call that one a rude son. The second one, you don't even want to talk about him at all. He told the father, I will go, but he didn't go. But there is a third son, and that is the one telling the story. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that the father said, go to my farm and walk, and he said, I will go, and he went. So there are actually three sons. One was rude, but he repented. The other was totally deceptive, but the one said, I will go, and he went. He's the one who said, the third son, is the one who said in Matthew 26, from verse 39 to 42, Matthew 26, 39 to 42, is the one who said, Father, thy will, not mine, be done. Even when it is not convenient, Daddy, whatever you want is what I will do. And that's why in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, Matthew 3, verse 16 to 17, God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And like I told you last month, the first fellow ever to use the word Abba in reference to God was Jesus Christ. The son in whom the father is well pleased is the one who qualifies to call God daddy. A special son, a loving son, an obedient son, a son who will do the will of his father anytime, any place, whether convenient or inconvenient. If God were to look down from heaven tonight and say, this is my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased. How many of you will want to say, God, let that be me? Is anyone here who wants God to say, hey, that's my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased? If you believe that that's the kind of person you want to be, let me hear your amen. Amen. Now, when God finds a special son, qualified to call him daddy, dramatic things happen in the life of such a child. And I'm going to very briefly discuss just about seven or so of them tonight, just to let you know that if you qualify to call God Abba, you can expect certain things from him that may not be available to other people who can just call him Father. And we're going to compare two people. Jesus Christ, that God himself said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And Paul the apostle. Because in everything, both of them qualify to call God Abba Father. In Philippians chapter 2, for example, verse 5 to 8, Philippians 2, 5 to 8, Jesus Christ humbled himself all the way to the point of death just to satisfy his Father. In Philippians 1, verse 21, Philippians 1, 21, Paul the apostle said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, he simply said, in living or in dying, I will do the will of my Father. Now, when you compare these two, you get some deep insight, particularly if you read Acts chapter 16 from verse 25 to the end. Acts 16 from verse 25 to the end. You know the story. Paul and Silas were imprisoned, and they were going to kill them the following day. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing, and they began to praise God, and then things began to happen. What is the first thing you can expect from Abba Father? If you qualify to call God Abba Father, the first thing you can expect is that God will shake the heavens and the earth to make sure he meets your needs. Because as Paul and Silas were singing and praising God, suddenly there was an earthquake. Just as there was an earthquake in Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ was buried. There was a huge stone rolled across the mouth of the grave to make sure he would not be able to even come out if he should arise from the dead. But the Almighty God sent an earthquake. In the case of Paul and Silas, God sent an earthquake that shook the prison to the foundation. The Bible says the prison doors were flung open and every man's bound was loosed. And Joel chapter 3, verse 16, Joel chapter 3, verse 16 assures me that concerning any of his special children, the Almighty God will roar out of Zion. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem. When we talk about an earthquake coming from the Almighty God, earthquakes can come in various forms. It could come with the shaking of the ground. It can come with the shaking of a whole system. And I'm believing God that God is about to send an earthquake to someone tonight. I'll give you an example that you'll remember. One of our children, someone you know by the time I tell the story, refused to compromise in his place of work. So all, and he happens to be a military man, so all the officers above him decided that the best thing to do is get rid of this boy. So even though he was not due for retirement, they decided to retire him. They wrote the letter of retirement and gave it to him, and he came. It was Friday night, came to the Holy Ghost service and said, "Lord, this is the letter I've received for being faithful to you. The rest is up to you." That was Friday night. By Monday morning, superior officers had met, and all the officers that recommended the retirement of this young man were all retired. And he was promoted ahead of them. Incidentally, there was a word of knowledge that night that said that there's someone here. The people above you have made up their mind to end your career. But long after they are gone, you will still be rising. He heard the word of God of knowledge and said, "God, you mean you have already read my letter?" By Monday, the miracle had already happened. There's someone here today too. Before Monday, your first big surprise will come. But I want you to rise on your feet and pray your first prayer, and pray it with all your heart. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, "Father, whatever you have to shake in order to solve my problem, shake it tonight." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. If you have to shake the heavens, shake the heavens. If you have to shake the earth, shake the earth. If you have to shake the establishment, shake the establishment. Whatever you have to shake, Lord, to solve my problem, shake it tonight. Shake whatever you have to shake tonight, oh Lord, to make sure that you solve my problem. If you have to shake the heavens, shake the heavens. If you have to shake the earth, shake the earth. If you have to shake the establishment, shake the establishment. Whatever you have to shake in order to meet my needs, Lord God Almighty, shake it tonight. Shake it tonight. Shake it tonight. Shake it tonight. Anything you have to shake, Lord, in order to meet my needs, do the shaking tonight. Do the shaking tonight. Shake it tonight, Father, that your name might be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Number two, if you qualify to call God Abba Father, then nobody can stop you. Every child that God considers my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased, you can hold them, but you won't be able to keep them. In Matthew 28 verse 4, they are our keepers outside the tomb of Jesus Christ. The enemy made sure that if by any means he managed to escape from the grave, the keepers were arrested. But the Bible says, on that resurrection morning, the keepers shook and fainted. They were like dead men. The earthquake knocked them out. In Colossians 2 verse 15, the Bible says, Jesus spoiled the principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. All those who thought they are going to hold him down, he destroyed them. He made a show of them openly. In Acts 16 verse 27, in the case of Paul the Apostle, the Bible said, if Paul had not intervened, the jailer would have killed himself. The one that was supposed to keep him safe would have committed suicide. Why? Hebrews 12 verse 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. When God arises for his special son, special child, anybody who tries to stand in the way will be consumed by fire. You will remember. We had some testimonies tonight. Beautiful testimony of a child that was kidnapped. And when they heard that she's a member of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, they returned her. But some of you will remember, those of you who are fairly old, you will remember the story of a lady who, after the convention, was going to Abeokuta and got into a bus, not knowing that it was a kidnapper's bus. And they took her into the jungle, and they were already shaving her hair off when she began to speak in tongues. And as she began to speak in tongues, the high priest, who was in charge of killing people, and she had seen a lot of people being killed, came out and said, who is the one here who is disturbing us? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, from now on, when you pray, the enemy will be disturbed. And they carried her right back to where they picked her up. I want you to stand on your feet. You're going to pray this second prayer. It is necessary at a time like this. Say, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, anyone trying to hold me down, show them that you are the consuming fire. Open your mouth and pray. Anyone trying to hold me down, just show them that you are the consuming fire. Anyone in any way whatsoever trying to hinder me, trying to hold me down, please, Daddy, show them that you are the consuming fire. Let them realize I belong to you. Let them realize that you are my Father. Anyone trying to hold me down, Father, show them that you are the consuming fire. Show them. Show them that you are the consuming fire. Show them that you are the consuming fire. Anytime anyone else tries to hold me down, Father, show them that you are the consuming fire. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Number three. When he looks down and he sees you as one of his beloved sons or daughter, he will turn your enemies to your servants. In Psalm 110, verse 1. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight, he said, I will turn that bad news to good news. Thank you, Daddy. The Lord said, there's someone listening to me. I believe he's here. Might be in the viewing centers. It might be all. He simply said, I should let you know, I will heal you. In Psalm 110, verse 11, Psalm 110, verse 11, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit down at my right hand till I've made your enemies your footstool. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, Ephesians 1, verse 20 to 22, the Bible says, he raised Jesus Christ high, far above principalities and powers. He put all things under his feet. Now, in Acts 16, that one is for Jesus Christ. In Acts 16, verse 33 to 34, concerning Paul the Apostle, because you can relate to Paul the Apostle. The very man who was the jailer, the one who was supposed to oversee his imprisonment, became his servant, washing his wound, preparing food for him. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 45 to 49, 2 Samuel 22, verse 45 to 49, it is written, strangers have submitted themselves to me. Is that for you? As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. That's written for me. I don't know about you. There's nothing as sweet as God turning your enemies to your servant. If he kills them, they won't even see you when you are in your glory. That's why I like what David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think it will be better if my enemies will be the one who will carry the washing water for me to wash my hand. And when I finish eating, let them go and wash the plates. You know the story. But maybe there's one aspect of it you don't know. You remember the story of a woman in a town in Osun State. Wealthy woman in a house right in the center of the town. No marshy ground anywhere around. And she sat down to eat. She wanted to eat pounded yam. And out of nowhere, a frog just came and jumped on the bowl of pounded yam. Ah, where is this frog coming from? And she tried to smash it, drive it away from the pounded yam. The thing jumped into the bowl of stew. So the woman said, all right. If I'm not going to eat this pounded yam, neither will you. So she took the bowl of pounded yam and rammed it on the bowl of stew, burying the frog. At least she thought so. After some time, thinking that by now the frog would have been suffocated to death, she opened the bowl to discover that there was no frog. But from that day onward, she began to cough. And I mean the kind of cough that when she was coughing, she would be urinating. She went everywhere. Doctors tried everything they could. She just kept on coughing. And then one day, by the special grace of God, we went to that town to hold a program. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. And from that day onward, coughing ceased. And she began to sleep soundly. She had not been able to sleep for almost 2 years. And then all of a sudden, a woman came to her. I said, "How did you get deliverance? Because the demon I sent to you had no cure. And when it left you, it has come to me. Every attack of the enemy against you will go back to sender." So the lady told her, "I gave my life to Jesus. He saved my soul." She said, "Please show me the way." And so she too gave her life to Jesus Christ, and God set her free. Now, the beauty of the story is that the next convention, when that woman in the big story building was coming to the convention, it was the lady that sent the demon that carried her bag. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God, loud and clear, and say, "Father, in Jesus' mighty name, let all my enemies become my servants." Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God, "All my enemies." Let them become my servants. Let all my enemies, my Father and my God, become my servants. All of them. Let them become my servants. That's the way we'll be able to know that you are the Almighty. You said you will make my enemies my footstool. Fulfill your promise, O Lord. Fulfill your promise, O Lord. Fulfill your promise, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Number 4. If you are one of his beloved, he will see to it that you fulfill your destiny. Irrespective of what the enemy may do. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8 to 12. Acts 4, verse 8 to 12. Peter was talking and he said to the people, he said, Jesus whom you crucified is the one God had raised from the dead. And is the one who has just performed the miracle on this lame man. By the time they were crucifying the son in whom God was well pleased, they thought that his destiny had come to an end. They killed him, they buried him, but God raised him from the dead, and the miracles continued. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 8, he said, had they known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. If they had known that the dying of Jesus Christ is going to lead to world evangelization, they probably would have left him alone, just in Israel. In Acts chapter 16, in the case of Paul, the apostle, Acts 16, verse 35 to 39. Acts 16, 35 to 39. After the earthquake that shook the place, the people who put Paul and Silas in prison sent and said, you can tell them to go. Paul said, no, no, no. They jailed me without trial. Let them come and get me out of here on their own. The enemy came and begged him, please, sir, go on with your ministry. They came to beg. In Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11, Psalm 33, verse 10 to 11, the Bible says, God brings the counsel of the heathen to naught, but his own counsel shall stand. There might be some of you who have been going through all manners of persecution from people who are even close to you. And you are in a situation where you are no longer even sure whether you'll be able to fulfill your destiny or not. I have good news for you. The God of Joseph is still on his throne. When the brothers of Joseph sold him to slavery, they said, let us see how his dream can ever come to pass. But at the end of the day, they came and bowed down to him. I will tell you a story, true story, but I will camouflage it so you won't be able to know who is concerned. But I know one young man, happens to be the youngest son in the family. The father had two wives. And the first wife had the first son. This boy was born by the second wife. For one reason or the other, the first son hated this young fellow very badly. And there was an occasion when he made up his mind to kill the boy. But somehow, as they say in colloquial English, the boy escaped death. Years passed. The small boy became whom God wanted him to be. And then he decided to visit that first brother. And he told him, from now on a monthly basis, I'll be feeding you. And the older brother began to cry because he remembered if he had the opportunity, he would have killed this boy. I want you to stand on your feet and tell the Almighty God and say, Father, it doesn't matter what the enemies may be planning. Let me fulfill my destiny. Open your mouth and cry to him. Because you don't even know who the enemies are. They might be your relations. They might be those who are very close. Let me fulfill my destiny. It doesn't matter what the enemies may be planning. Just let me fulfill my destiny. Let me fulfill my destiny. I don't know who they are, who might be planning against me. They have their plans. Some of them have perfected the plans. But Lord, in spite of all of them, Abba Father, let me fulfill my destiny. Let me fulfill my destiny. Let me fulfill my destiny. Oh yes, Almighty God, let me fulfill my destiny. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Number 5. When you are one of his beloved children, he can perform not just special miracles for you, but special miracles through you. And I'm sure some of us will like that one very much. Because I know there are some of us who will be delighted if God will use us to make the lame to walk, to make the blind to see, and to raise the dead. You see, when you listen to some of these testimonies, you need to put yourself in the picture to get the full impact of the testimony. Imagine yourself being a pastor. You are in church. You are preaching. Everything is going fine. People are singing. And right there in the congregation, somebody was dead. Imagine how you will feel when all of a sudden you discover that one member of your congregation had been dead for 2 hours. And then imagine how you will feel when, by the time you lay the handkerchief on the fellow jumps back to life. There are some testimonies you can't really describe this scenery unless somebody will put himself in that situation. I have good news for somebody here today. Very soon, God will be performing special miracles through you. I've told you before, the first time I saw God performing a special miracle through me, it was at Elisha. I was visiting, and a woman brought a child who had never spoken in all her life. The child had not spoken a word. The child must be about 10 years or so of age. And they brought the child for prayer. I was going to pray, expecting that, well, after I've prayed, we'll say, okay, go on, believing, very soon we'll see results. But as I said, in the name of Jesus, the girl said, amen. I nearly jumped out of the window. A miracle that will surprise you will happen through you very soon. If you qualify to call God Abba Father, he can perform special miracles through you. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, the Bible tells us that the woman with the issue of blood just touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. That's all she did. And she got her healing.
And in Mark chapter 6, verse 56, the Bible said, as many as touched him, as many as touched the hem of his garment, they were made whole. In the case of Apostle Paul, who is closer home to Acts 19, verse 11 to 12, the Bible said that God performed special